The First Testament lesson today is from Isaiah chapter 41, verses 17 through 20. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 669 of the Old Testament. Please listen for the word of the Lord. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will put in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, and the olive. I will set in the desert the cypress, the plane, and the pine together, so that all may see and know, all may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We are looking at the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke this morning, the first 10 verses. And we're going to read the first two of three stories. What Jesus ends up doing in this situation is telling a series of stories. And we're going to be looking at the first two. So together, let us listen to the word of the Lord. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of the Lord. Abraham's life was going nowhere fast. He had grown up on the streets of East LA in a poor and rough neighborhood. Like most of his friends, he had dropped out of high school. He had joined a gang. He was in and out of juvenile hall on a regular basis. And as this story sort of opens, he is on probation. And under most circumstances, Abraham would have simply become another statistic. Another one of those kids in East LA who sort of went from the playpen to the adult pen. He was headed as a gang member probably to prison off and on for the rest of his life. But then, in January of 2014, something happened. And today, Abraham is off probation. He's a high school graduate. He is attending Pasadena Community College, and the coolest thing of all is that this summer, he gets to go and study for a month at Oxford University in England. So the question is, what happened? How did he go from being in juvie and on probation to Oxford? The answer is that someone listened to Jesus. Okay, I know that's cryptic. But to understand, what we have to do is go back to the story this morning with Jesus. So in this Jesus story this morning, Jesus, well, he's doing his usual Jesus thing, right? Jesus goes out, he teaches, he preaches, maybe he heals some people, maybe feeds, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 people. Jesus is just doing his Jesus thing. The difference, though, in this story is the crowd. The crowd in this story who are around him don't appear to be the usual cast of characters. Maybe some fisher folk, some farmers, maybe some of the poor. No, in this morning story, we have what Luke calls sinners and tax collectors. And I know that's just one of those phrases, right? We just sort of use it and throw it away. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine this group of sinners and tax collectors. And what he has surrounding him, these people are, well, in South Texas parlance, they're cholos. They are members of the Mexican mafia. They are members of some of the gangs that sort of roamed my wife's school district on the south side of San Antonio. They are sort of hoodlums from the hood. They are gangsters. They have their gang tattoos. They have their bandanas. They are the people that most of us probably would not invite over to dinner. Okay? These are the people who are surrounding Jesus. These are the sinners and the tax collectors. And also in the crowd, sort of standing, if you will, imagine kind of at the edge, are the religious elite. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, these are the seminary graduates. These are the religious law school graduates. These are the people who help you make sure you obey all the rules. And basically, they are not pleased that Jesus is hanging with his homies. Okay? This is not what makes them happy. In fact, they're starting this whisper campaign that who does Jesus think he is hanging out with these kinds of people? These are not the kind of people a rabbi should be hanging out with. Now, in that moment, Jesus has several options as to what to do. He could do the thing that sort of all of our politicians are doing and start calling people names, but he chooses not to do that. He could engage in the usual sort of rabbinic give and take, that when rabbis disagree with one another, they would start quoting the Talmud, they would start quoting the Torah, they would go back and forth and exchange legal opinions. But he doesn't do that either. Instead, Jesus does what I really love it when he does. He tells stories. And so he tells these two wonderful stories. The first story is of this shepherd who has 100 sheep. One of them wanders off, and the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes in search of the one lost sheep, finds it, puts it on his shoulders, brings it back into the fold. Second story he tells, there's this woman who has 10 silver coins. She loses one of them in her house, in the dust-covered house, dirt floor. And she panics, and she lights a lamp, and she gets the broom, and she dusts, and she cleans, and she searches until she finds it. And both of these times, when the sheep is found and when the coin is found, the people throw a party, and they celebrate with their neighbors. Okay, so to our ears, both of these stories may sound, well, a little strange. After all, if you're a shepherd and you have 100 sheep and only one of them is lost, why would you leave the 99 and go in search of the lost sheep? Well, the answer is because those sheep don't belong to you. Shepherds watched over sheep for other people. Those sheep may belong to the entire community. They may have belonged to an individual, but they are not yours. And you are absolutely responsible for every single one of those sheep. And notice when Jesus tells the story, he says to the people, now, isn't this what you would do? And they're like, absolutely, because I know I have to go and find that sheep, so I am not accused of stealing or selling someone else's property. That sheep is of incalculable value to the shepherd's reputation in life. The woman with the coin, 10 silver coins. This is probably their life savings. And this woman has lost 10% of their life savings. And that could mean the difference between starvation and survival as one waits on the harvest. This one coin, though for us, it's like, we lose a coin, who cares? For this woman and her family, this was an incalculable value. She had to find it. And so for those around Jesus, these stories made sense. It's what everyone would do. But at the same time, all of those people knew that Jesus wasn't just talking about a shepherd and sheep, and Jesus wasn't just talking about a woman and coins. Jesus was talking about God. All of those people there, all of those cholos and gangsters, all of those Pharisees and Sadducees, they get it. They get it that Jesus is talking about God. And what they hear in those stories is they hear about the God of the Scriptures, the God of Israel, because the God of Israel is a God with a searching heart. When God's people were in captivity in Egypt, God sought them out. God went searching for them and found them and brought them out, as the Scriptures say, with a powerful hand. When the people were in the wilderness and they decided, listen, let's make our own gods. We'll go chasing after these own gods. God didn't just let them go. God's searching heart went after them and found them and brought them back. When they were oppressed in the new land by the Canaanites, the Philistines, God didn't just let them go. God sought them out and sought for a judge or a king or a prophet or a priest to guide and direct them and save them. When the people went into exile in Babylon, God didn't just leave them there. God sought them. God searched for them. God found them. And God brought them back to the land. And now, God has sought them once again by sending Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, who these people believed to be the Messiah, the chosen one of God who had come into the world to seek out and search and bring people back into this new kingdom that God was creating. This was the searching heart of God. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees knew that God had been searching for them, the sinners and the gangsters and the cholos. God, they knew that God had been searching for them because they were God's people. I hope we know that God has been searching for us as well. For every single one of us. That we are the beloved of God. God has searched for us just like God searched for those sinners and tax collectors and Pharisees and Sadducees. That God searches throughout the world to draw all people into this new kingdom community. And that is how Abraham was found, that someone had listened to Jesus and believed that we ought to have the searching hearts of God. And so who was that who had listened to Jesus? The answer is, it was a priest named Father Boyle. And his church, his parish, called the Dolores Missionary Community in East LA. In the late 80s, this church and Father Boyle just sort of watched the community disintegrating around them with the rise of gangs and violence, and they decided that something needed to be done in the name of Christ. And what they didn't do was go to the police and say, listen, we need more patrols and we need to put all of these gangsters away in prison. What they said was, these kids need to be loved and they need jobs. They need hope. And so Father Boyle and members of the community went to the surrounding businesses and found 7 businesses that said they would hire former gang members. And that was the beginning. They called it jobs, not jail. And that was the beginning. And today, Father Boyle runs what is called Homeboy Industries. You like that? I like that. In East LA, Homeboy Industries. It is the world's largest gang member re-entry, re-education program in the world. Every year, 10,000 gang members leave their gangs and come through Homeboy Industries to get legal help, financial help, job training, drug rehabilitation, on-the-job training. These are the people who found Abraham. And in that place, he found that he was one of those sheep that was lost and the coin that had been left in the dirt, but that the love of God in Jesus Christ was there for him. The one that was lost is now found. This is the way that Father Boyle in a recent interview put it. If ours is a God who is too busy loving us to be disappointed in us, then imagine what that means for your ministry or for your being. And imagine if ours was a God who didn't want anything from us, but only wanted for us, for them. Suddenly, all of the walls and doors are opened to seeking and searching and finding. And one last thing about Father Boyle that I really love. He said that his people are reverse cherry pickers. That they don't look for the easiest kids to deal with. They go after the worst, the most intransigent, the most difficult to deal with, because those are the kids who most need to know. And these are Father Boyle's words, that they are a blessing. That they are a blessing to the world. And so they seek them out. And so this morning, I want to offer you 2 challenges. Not just 1, 2. The first is that when the communion elements are passed and you receive them, I ask you to see them as a sign that it is God who is seeking you. That there is nothing you have said or done or could say or do or believe that could separate you from this searching heart of God. That God's love for you is real and powerful and alive. Taste it in the bread and in the cup. But second then, ask yourselves, how can I be part of an organization, part of a community that has a searching heart for those whom society has forgotten, whom society claims are not worthy of the love of God, but we know are, because we know the God whose heart searches and seeks for all of us, because we are all blessings from and to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that it was you who sought us, that your searching heart called us out to be your people. Help us to be your hands, your feet, your voice, as we seek those who need to hear that same good news. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.